I'm delighted now to welcome back to the Radio Cafe Deborah Dennison. She's artistic director of the Arden Shakespeare Festival. She's co-director of and actor in The Merry Wives of Windsor, which opens this Friday and runs for 2 weekends here in Santa Fe. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
It's good to be here.
It's great to have you back. Now, you are always doing Shakespeare, and this Merry Wives of Windsor is a really fun one.
It is. It's a load of fun. It's a remarkable play in that, unlike so many others, even the comedies, which involve dukes and royalty and people of noble birth, and this is a play about ordinary middle-class people, families. Jane Lancaster, who's my co-director and has been a performance coach with us, she comes from the Royal Shakespeare Company, and it's been great fun having her work on the show. She describes it as the Desperate Housewives of Windsor, which I think is very, very true, actually. We've been having an awful lot of fun with it. We've added a lot of live music, a lot of bawdy period singing.
That's very funny.
Which the audience seems to enjoy.
Yes.
And we have some actors who have very good singing voices, which is very fortunate. But I think in January, when things get a bit post-holiday glum, it's fun to have something that really is seriously silly.
Now, this play is, among other things, the source of the opera Falstaff.
Indeed. Indeed.
And part of what's going on is something that perhaps some of our friends out in Radio Land may have even encountered, which is some dude trying to date or seduce or court more than one gal at the same time.
More than one gal at the same time, and for their money, because he's impecunious, and he figures his way out of his desperate financial situation is to seduce some wealthy middle-class women who have boring husbands.
And antics ensue.
Oh, yes, very much so. I call this a hilarious comedy of seduction, jealousy, and revenge.
Revenge on the part of the women.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. There's an interesting little feminist strain, particularly among for Mistress Page in this. She has some lines which sound stridently 20th century, even 21st century, although I think perhaps the 20th century was more feminist than the 21st. But
like what?
Well, it's interesting. A lot of people dismiss Merry Wives, and I understand why, because it was originally written, we understand, at the request of Queen Elizabeth, who loved the character of Falstaff, and said, write me another one. So apparently, quite quickly, he dashed off this play with Falstaff in it, and some Mistress Quickly, and some of the Pistol and Nim, and the more familiar characters that everybody loves. And it does feel like a sort of hastily written comedy. But on the other hand, as I got to work on it, I found more and more kind of interesting, sharp critiques of the way we deal with each other and the values that we have. There is a subplot of the pretty young daughter who's being married off by her parents, and their choices are all about security and money. And ironically enough, because they're so solidly middle class, which seems strange in the 16th, 17th century.
Right.
They don't want her marrying anybody with a title because they think he'll be awful as a husband. You know, he'll waste all his money and he'll sleep around and think himself privileged and he's overeducated. And so there's some very interesting subtle commentary on snobbery and reverse snobbery and the kind of sense of privilege that wealth gives anyone when you're that secure.
And those are the kinds of insights into life in the 16th century or whatever that you don't have through other historical channels.
Indeed, indeed. I think it's a bit surprising. I mean, they talk about, you know, taking the washing down with Falstaff in it, of course, and very sort of practical everyday things, which are kind of fun. It's a bit like a glimpse into everyday life, and it's full of very silly antics, which is, you know, it's nice to hear an audience laugh. It really is.
And so you were in Albuquerque performing, and then this weekend you're going to be doing a preview show at the James, no, at the, sorry, at Teatro Paraguas.
Yes.
And then next weekend you'll be at the James A. Little Theater. So those are very different spaces.
Oh, indeed they are. And the space in Albuquerque was very different as well. So we've got actors who know how to adjust. That's fortunate. The two performances at Teatro Paraguas are, we're taking some of the seats out, so there's very limited seating, and it's a reduced price ticket. So it may fill up quite quickly. But it's nice to be at Teatro Paraguas. Teatro Paraguas is our fiscal parent. Argos and I have worked together very closely for many, many years, and it feels like coming home to some degree. And then we're going into the wonderful James A. Little, which is a very large theater, and has yet another shaped stage. But we have a, you know, blocking that will adjust and a set that will adjust, and it'll be fine, I hope.
How do you do an adjustable set?
I had to design it so that it would fit all those spaces, so that it, the sight lines would be, it could be adjusted for. And that was a major consideration in how we approached creating it.
Now, you as artistic director of the Art and Shakespeare Festival, it sounds like you're doing everything. You're designing sets, you're directing, you're acting, you're finding body music of the 16th and 17th centuries.
Nobody will believe this, but I try very hard not to. I certainly don't like being in plays that I direct. I don't believe in that. I simply had to because we lost an actress. And I tried to recruit several other actors to take the part, and they were all busy, so I had to jump in myself. And I love it, but it's not my choice to direct and act. I don't believe in that, actually.
Why?
I think that you can never quite look at the show when you're in it. And the director's job is to watch the show, understand how it's shaped, look at the performances, and that's why it's so wonderful that we had Jane. Because if we hadn't had her sitting out there giving notes and working with actors, it would have been a very different story.
I suppose you have to really somehow do some kind of actor multitasking where you're completely in character and yet also watching it from the outside if you're doing the actor-director thing.
That's what you want to avoid. I think when you're on stage acting, that's what you should be doing.
Yeah.
And if you stop and start thinking about, oh, they're not in the right place, and that line should have been like that, you'll lose your lines and you'll lose your character. So you really can't do that.
What's the part that you're playing in The Merry Wives of Windsor?
Mistress Page. And she's the most feminist character. She's the one who has the most jaded view of how men treat women. And that's a lot of fun to play. I'm having a ball.
So it's The Merry Wives of Windsor this Friday and Saturday at 7:30 at Teatro Paraguas, and then the following weekend at the James A. Little Theater, Saturday the 31st of January, Sunday, February 1st, again at 7:30 in the evening, and then Sunday the 2nd of February at 1 p.m. in time for everybody to both go see The Merry Wives of Windsor and the Super Bowl.
That was deliberate, yes. We thought it would be a cruel thing to do to some people, to tear them away from the kickoff. So we set the matinee a little bit earlier.
And proving that there are audiences for professional football and Shakespeare simultaneously.
Including a lot of our cast members who were delighted that we did that.
Well, for more information, you can go to ardenfest.org, ardenfest.org. You can also call the box office number, which is 603, it's area code 505, 603-7479. Now, the fates have decreed that this is a phone with very little voicemail capacity.
I'm afraid so. So if you find it full, please be patient and call again. We promise we'll empty it out and get to you.
Okay, well, Deborah Dennison, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.